Welcome back. Animal health company Zoetis posted third quarter sales and profits that topped expectations, with demand for the company's pet wellness and treatment products helping fuel results. For more, we're welcoming in Zoetis Chief Financial Officer Wetteny Joseph. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I wanted to ask first about that split in performance between Zoetis' portfolio of products focused on companion animals and pets, which grew during the quarter, and then your products focused on livestock, which declined. Could you talk a little bit about what's been driving that relative strength in your companion animal portfolio of products?
Good morning, and thanks for having me. Indeed, we delivered another strong quarter with 10% operational growth in revenue and adjusted net income. As you mentioned, we really saw 19% growth in companion animal, whereas our livestock business declined by 2%. And that was in line with our expectations from a livestock perspective. But in companion animal, we continue to see a trend globally across mature markets as well as emerging markets where people are bringing more pets into their homes. They're spending more time with their pets, and they're really investing more in their pets' wellness. And that continues to pull through for us with our, really, we have an innovative portfolio of products. And our strength, particularly in parasiticides and dermatology, were really the key drivers for our companion animal growth around the world. From a livestock perspective, the 2% decline was in line with our expectations. However, we saw 7% growth in international livestock. But given a loss of exclusivity on a few products that we have that are more centered in the U.S., we saw a decline of 2%, which was in line with what we expected for livestock.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that dermatology opportunity, because Zoetis talked a good deal about the total addressable market in the U.S., 7 million dogs or 7 million animals that have skin problems. How are you hopping on that opportunity?
Yeah, Brian, thank you. There are actually more dogs that have skin issues than the 7 million, but we see about 6 to 7 million dogs that suffer from itchiness today that still are not being treated. And so we think there's more room to continue to expand this market. And by the way, about the same number exists in Europe. So we think there are more opportunities as we continue to develop the market. We'll see more growth for us in dermatology as well as other areas of pet care.
One other thing I wanted to ask, going back to the dip in the livestock portfolio, do you expect to see a rebound in that portion of the business next year as we continue to get this recovery in food services and restaurants, or what are you seeing so far in this quarter?
Yeah, look, long term, we expect livestock to grow in the low single digits, somewhere in the 4 to 5% range. As I mentioned earlier, we are really pleased to see 7% growth in our livestock business internationally, with the U.S. coming in with a decline that we really expected from a livestock perspective. So as we see more markets open, as we see a rebound from the pandemic, those will bode well. But there are other dynamics at play as well when you look at really producer dynamics around input costs and so on that put some pressure on livestock, particularly in the U.S., in addition to the loss of exclusivity that we said. So I think as we look further beyond next year into 23, 24, we expect livestock to rebound for us within the U.S., but globally, particularly as you look at population growth around the world, a growing middle class, particularly in emerging markets around the world. We think those, in combination with our portfolio and diversification across different species within livestock, we think those will bode well for us in terms of our long-term growth around livestock.
Pork prices have really plunged in China. How is that impacting your business?
Yeah, we saw that. Really, we started to see pressure on pork prices in China starting in the mid-June timeframe. So as we entered the quarter, we expected to see some pressure from a pork perspective, particularly for China. And we saw that play out in our numbers. On a year-to-date basis, China's been a strong grower for us. We've grown China about 35% through the first 9 months of the year. And long-term, we expect China to be really a growth driver for us as we continue to bring more of our innovative products into that market, as well as a growing middle class and et cetera, to continue to grow that market for us. Also, in the quarter, we saw companion animal in China. As I mentioned, emerging markets around the world, we're seeing growth from a companion animal perspective as well. And we saw really 10% growth across our pet care within China in the quarter, which, again, is encouraging. So as expected, pork prices were a decline for us. But if you look at last year in the same quarter, we actually posted 63% growth in China in the third quarter. So we're up against a very solid strong performance a year ago. And our pork business in China last year grew about 159% in the quarter. So a combination of really a strong comparative in the prior year, plus the price pressure that we see in China for pork really drove the performance we saw, and it was in line with our expectations.
Whitney, this is Julie here. I want to take a bit of a left turn and ask you about COVID vaccines for animals, because there was a report recently that at the Oklahoma City Zoo, they vaccinated 40 animals, large and small cats, gorillas, orangutans, using a Zoetis-made vaccine. What's the potential for this product? And at some point, do you see offering it for companion animals also?
Look, I really appreciate the question. At the start of the pandemic, we saw dogs being affected by COVID-19. And thankfully, as things continue to develop, we see less and less of an impact. So there's not really a need that we can see for vaccine for companion animals. However, we're very pleased to have really provided 11,000 doses of our COVID-19 vaccine for zoo animals. And recently we announced another 15,000 doses committed. So that would be about 26,000 doses to about 41 states and about 14 countries around the world in zoos and conservatories as well. So we're very pleased to be able to provide that support for zoo animals that needed from a COVID-19 perspective.
You know, lastly, have you seen, we've talked to a lot of CFOs. I mean, they're juggling inflationary pressures significantly. What are you seeing over at Zoetis?
Look, we certainly have seen that, but given the demand for innovative products, as well as the pricing for those products as more and more companion animal and pet care growth, that's allowed us to really to be able to absorb some of those inflationary pressures. We'll continue to have price as an opportunity for us, and we'll be thoughtful in how we go about that. If you look at the quarter, we actually expanded our margins to the tune of 110 basis points versus the prior year in Q3. And so the mix, favorable mix for us, along with price levers that we'll continue to pull, and we'll continue to drive productivity within our operations. We think those will position us well to continue to really address the impact of inflation across our freight lines and our landed costs that we continue to mitigate.
All right, we'll leave it there. Zoetis Chief Financial Officer Wetteny Joseph, thank you so much.